بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تزال عصابة من أمتي قائمة على أمر الله لا يضرها من خالفها تقاتل أعداء الله فلما ذهبت حرب نشبت حرب ويرفع الله أقواما ورزقهم من حتى تأتيهم الساعة هم أهل الشام وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تزال عصابة من أمتي يقاتلون على أبواب دمشق وما حولها وعلى أبواب بيت المقدس لا يضرهم خذلان من خذلهم ظاهرين على الحق إلى أن تقوم الساعة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا فتح الله عليكم مصر فاتخذوا فيها جندا كثيرا فذلك الجند خير أجناد الأرض فقال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه ولم يا رسول الله وقال عليه السلام لأنهم وأزواجهم في رباط إلى يوم القيامة. Many years after the fall of the Muslim Khilafa, which occurred in the year 1922 at the hands of the Allied forces made up primarily of the United Kingdom, the Soviet Union, the United States. Because the purpose of both the world wars, World War I, it led to the formation of what was known as the League of Nations. It was this league that cut and divided the lands of Sham and Hijaz. It created something known as a British Mandate in Palestine. Many a person at that time thought this just has to do with politics, it has to do with history. There is no mention of it in the Ahadith. It has nothing really to do with Islam. The details of these contracts, and when a person studies who it was made with, people who were not in known government positions, Lionel Rothschild, was never a president of any country. The word Rothschild is something that everyone recognizes, they know, they understand it to be a satanic force in the world, a hidden Jewish force, part of the Illuminati. Some would say Satanists, some would say the agents of Dajjal himself, this entire Rothschild family. But they were never presidents of any country. But for them to be so important, that when the British Mandate was being formed, where Palestine will be used as the land for the Jews, the British Mandate was a promise by the secretary known as Arthur Balfour, the secretary of this league in, at that time, the United Kingdom. When he was making this promise, he was making it not to any president of a country, he was making it to a man who was not even Jew by faith, Satanist, no regard to the book of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They are known as Ashkenazi Jew. He was making it to this man, Lionel Rothschild. So World War I was the promise that Palestine will be given over to you. That led to the snatching away of Palestine from the Muslim world after collapsing the Khilafah. From that day onwards, the Jewish movement towards the land started. And then came World War II a few years later. The most significant outcome of this was the formation of what they call the United Nations. This was that police force that was set up to bring in the one world order and to cause the creation of the State of Israel. That was 1948. In the very Bible, what they find today, you will find passages where they speak about a very small horn, which will be surrounded by many big horns. And the horn will be, the small horns and the big horn will be on a beast. Different people gave interpretations. One unique interpretation which makes everything fit into place was this beast is what is known as, you can call it the United Nations or you can call it the United States. Because there was hardly any difference between the two. The United Nations was just a name that all the world, the main nations of the world, but in the ending it was just a mouthpiece for the United States of America. So in this narration, it is not something that we rely on, but it is definitely something they are reading. It is known as the prophecies of Daniel alayhi salam, what he mentioned regarding the end of times. So a unique explanation of it is this beast is the United Nations itself, or the United States. And that small horn which the beast looks after, or the beast pushes, and this horn is able to do what it wants. That small horn surrounded by many horns. One person explaining this here, obviously not a non-Muslim, it will be a Muslim. It is possible his explanation is right, time itself will tell. He explained it in this manner. He says there's no other interpretation that can be really given of these verses. Although it's not ours, it's theirs. Except that that small horn is the state of Israel, which was established surrounded by many big horns. The big horns were the other Arab states surrounding the small horn. Which meant that all those Arab states will also be used by the beast to stab the enemy of the beast, which meant the Muslims of the Ummah. So Arab states surrounding one small state of Israel, from the year 1948 or from the collapse of the Khilafah, we will explain one narration, the world really saw that. The country and the military of these Muslim countries were not used to attack the small horn. Rather, they were used to protect the small horn. And they were used to stab the Muslims of the world. But at the end of that, verses of theirs, which you still will find in the Bible today, they mention of the time coming where those very big horns will turn around and they will start stabbing the beast itself. If this alim or this scholar's explanation works out, it means even in their own scriptures they have it written that your time is limited. A time will come where the very Arabs which you use to stab the Muslim Ummah, those very countries, their militaries, their weapons, their soldiers will one day turn against you. And they will start stabbing this beast until there will be no beast. But the fall of the beast is the fall of this one small horn which has no power in itself. It's only the power of the beast behind. So that is what they feel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did mention that after his demise you will see something known as Khilafah on the path of Nubuwa. And then he said you will see a leadership which will be hereditary, mulukiyat, where the father will ensure it stays in the family. He will look for his son to give it over to. And that occurred in what was known as the Umayyad Khilafah and the Abbasid Khilafah and the Ottoman Khilafah. Thereafter the narration mentions, then you will see an era of Jabariya. Scholars have explained in the light of current halat conditions that Jabariya was referring to when the leader will be such, he will be oppressive. The English word will be oppressive regimes. Oppressive regimes were established with the fall of the Khilafah. As long as the Ottomans were in charge, three unique lands were handed over or in their control, and it is these three lands for which the entire fight is taking place. It is Hijaz, and the center of Hijaz is Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. It is Misr, And you will have to understand in the real borders, Gaza is part of Misr. So it is Hijaz, and the focus of Hijaz is Makkah, Mukarrama, Medina, Munawwara. It is Misr, and the focus of Misr, or the main part of Misr, is the land known as Gaza. And it is Sham, and the focus of Sham is what we call Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis. The Ottomans were in charge of all three. The main purpose of the world war was to take away all three from the Ottomans, and to cut it in such manners, and to put it under such leaders, to ensure that all three will never again come into the power or the rule of one individual. And really with world war, the world, if they had seen how they cut it, how they separated, that today someone, if he hears Gaza is part of Misr, he will be shocked. If he understands where Aqsa is, he understands what is Sham, what it was once upon a time, part of it was pushed in Turkey, part was called Jordan, part was made Syria. And then if he has to understand the leaders who were put in charge, they were known as the Ba'ath party. Ba'ath is an English word, Arabic is Al-Ba'ath. Ba'ath was the Arabic of the word Renaissance. So they had the European Renaissance, which broke the church. And then they started the Arab Renaissance, Al-Ba'ath, the Ba'ath party, which was purpose was to break the masjids of the world. European Renaissance broke the power of the Christian church. The Arab Renaissance was to break the power of what was known as the Khilafah. European Renaissance was to ensure that Christianity, or the faith of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, although it was a false faith, but still, it will never ever become a power in the lands of Europe. It will be satanic, atheistic, material Europe. And the Arab Renaissance purpose was to ensure that the rule of Quran will never ever come back in the lands of Islam. So they established and installed people who in recent history you would have heard a lot of them. Bashar al-Assad is of the Ba'ath party. Saddam Hussein was of the Ba'ath party. Saddam Hussein had repented. That was the reason why they had to get him out. His repentance was so unique that he was that one person who before killing him, he was able to smile. He died smiling. Before his passing away, he started sponsoring a lot of widows. He felt responsible. It was because of him many of their husbands had passed away. He began reading Quran. So some change, some do not change. But it was this Ba'ath party that was established to ensure that Muslims in the lands, and a lot of Muslims in those lands were martyred. There was no hope that ever all of these three, Misr, Hijaz and Sham, will one day again become one. And it will come back in the hands of one power. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, never ended his narration there. As we saw all three already, we saw the era of Khilafah on the path of Nubuwa. We saw the era of where the Khilafah would be a issue of the father must hand it over to the son or someone close in the family. We saw the era of Jabariyat where it became oppressive regimes. And from that day, 1922 till today, 100 years have now passed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned, then Allah tabarakallah will establish the Khilafah. That last sentence was so powerful, meaning no matter what effort will be made by all of these powers to ensure that the Khilafah does not get established, and these three lands do not come back into one man's rule. But that last sentence was to say, whatever effort will be made will collapse at the last moment, and Almighty Allah's decision will prove. World War II took place and the state of Israel was established 1948. That horn came out. By 1967 they took over what is known as the old city of Jerusalem. And that's where they reached finally, touching on the border of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. From 1967, touching on that border wall, the old city of Jerusalem was then divided. This is Christian part, this is Jewish part, this is Muslim part, touching that wall. From 1967, the question would have been, what has now stopped you making another 5 steps, 10 steps? And there's only one thing out of your control, which is called Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. But from 1967, they were never able to enter or to get Masjid Al-Aqsa. Entering, they love, they walk in that precincts. They are armed. They are practically in control. There is no Muslim who can stop them entering. They stop the Muslims entering. They got control, but they got no control. They enter, but they have never taken over from 1967. As for Misr, they established a regime. In between, there were times where people tried to overthrow the regime. There was one time where it was thought that it happened, Muslim Brotherhood. But every time that there was that hope was broken. They kept hold on Misr because Misr is this land they are so worried about. They reached the entire part of Misr. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah wrote a kitab called Maqamat-e-Muqaddasa. He began writing this kitab when he was taken to Egypt. At that time, Gaza was still part of Misr, Egypt. He said that they took me to the mountain where I saw them at the footsteps of Gaza, wondering how much longer it will take for them to take over Gaza. They had taken over the whole. They had separated Gaza now from Egypt because Egypt was already under the puppet regime. The only worry was of Gaza. From that time that Qari Tayyab Sahib saw them at the foot of Gaza, until today they still stuck at the foot of Gaza. It is something to think about. What is the miracles of these lands? Old Jerusalem, 1967, still stuck at Old Jerusalem. The top of Gaza, still stuck at the top of Gaza. And then for the lands of Hijaz, they always wanted to enter into Hijaz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wasiyah was أخرجوا اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب. From the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, this land was pure. If they entered, they entered as a visitor and a very hidden visit. It was a land that if they had to bring any Christian or Jew, they had to hide it and do it. Then came what is known as 9/11, September 11 attacks. It was a made up attack. And what that was, the attack on Afghanistan, not 9/11, before that, the Iraqi war. At the time of the Iraqi war, which was a created war, that was the time when Saddam Hussein was still at the beck and call of America. He even entered this war on America's indication, which later on they mentioned, that he was told by them to make that attack. And after he launched the attack, he heard that America is now coming to attack him. That's made him shocked. That's when he learned he's just a pawn in this game. That's when he began pulling his people away. He saw the people he worked for so many years. When they no longer need you, they just kick you. It was the beginning of his days where he started reading Quran after the Gulf War. But it was with the Gulf War that certain mukhlis, sincere people, wrote to the Saudi government that do not allow the Christians to enter into the Syria as a military. We have enough of our own soldiers, we will look after Kuwait. But Saudi was not going to allow it. They needed America, or America needed to enter into Al-Hijaz. From the time of the Iraqi Gulf War, so many non-Muslim soldiers entered an established base. They practically gained complete control of the lands of Hijaz. And they reached right till the top of Al-Haram. But from that day till today, they have never been allowed to openly show their force in Al-Haram. So three lands which they wanted to take, they reached the doorsteps of all three. Old Jerusalem, 1967, but they stuck at the door. After 1948, and perhaps it was by 1967, they reached the doorsteps of Gaza, but they stuck. And with the Iraqi invasion, or the invasion over Iraq and the Gulf War, they reached the footsteps of Al-Haram and they got stuck. From that day onwards, they would make a lot of effort, can we move one step further? But the power of Almighty Allah never allowed that step. Many of us saw these things and wondered, like, how come they can't come further? Many never thought of it. Think of Gaza. Now people are really understanding what is called war. And how small is Gaza? In 2008, they really made an invasion over Gaza. 2012, 2014, this is perhaps the longest invasion, 2023. All three previous invasions occurred when the people of Gaza did not have much weapons. This is an invasion that's occurring when the people of Gaza are now well prepared for this attack. They do not have an answer for them in the sky, but when they come on the ground, they're very, very well prepared. But the question is, the previous three, when they were not prepared, what pushed them out of Gaza? Otherwise, the long time, in 2008, they're supposed to be in control. The power that falls in this land is a unique power. The aid of Almighty Allah that lands in this land on the footsteps and with the fall of Gaza is the fall of the entire Misr. But from that time, Gaza holds out and it will still, inshallah, hold out till the end. It is this narration that Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah wrote in his kitab Maqamat al-Muqaddasa, quoting from the kitab Al-Kanz. And he explained to the people of Egypt that remember your role in the Muslim world is not just to show your old history and your old culture and how you have the pyramids and the sphinx. He says, rather in the ahadith you will find the people of Egypt have been given a very unique role. After he mentioned this in one of the lectures in Egypt, they even published it in their risala to say, a Sheikh Muhammad Tayyib has today opened the eyes of us that indeed we have a great responsibility to the Muslim Ummah. But because of their puppet regime, to a great extent they are not being able to fulfill this responsibility, majority of Misr. But when it comes to one minority of Misr, Gaza, indeed they have fulfilled this responsibility in the most unique of manners. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِذَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِصْرًا. When Allah will give you conquer, when Allah will give you victory over the land of Misr, then place in Misr a great amount of the army. Because that army that will reside in Misr will be the best of the armies of earth. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Walima, why is this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for they and their wives, look at this word, wa azwajuhum. When normally in battles it was the men that would go, women would not be allowed to go in battle. Sometimes they would go to aid. They would never be allowed to be put in a place which put them in a position of fear. But in this narration for Misr it was mentioned, them, wa azwajuhum and their wives, fi ribatin will remain protecting the Muslim border till the day of Qiyamah. In that there was an indication that Misr would see such a battle, that not only will men have to give their lives, there will be women giving their lives. But the men will remain protecting, and the woman will also remain in the protection of this land. Today what we are seeing in Gaza, what we saw in 2014, 2012, 2008, from the time Israel, the strongest military at the moment in the world, perhaps it is, because of the aid it receives from others. A small Gaza which hardly has weapons to fight them. This narration, the best army of the armies of earth, indeed we are seeing it today. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib in his kitab Maqamat al-Muqaddasa would then go to explain that these three lands, he said, I have found mention of them made in the surah Wat-Tini Waz-Zaytun by the oath of the fig and the olive. He said that the Mufassirin have written, it refers to the land of Sham. He said Almighty Allah took a qasam on the lands of Sham. The barakah of the lands of Sham. But in the narration he says, you will see when Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spoke of the lands of Sham, he was not speaking about barakah with regards to the fruits of the land. Rather, he was speaking about barakah regarding the army of the people of Sham. The narration Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib mentioned, there will continuously be a group of my ummah who will remain firm on the command of Almighty Allah. Those who oppose them will never harm them. They will continue fighting the enemy of Allah. When one war comes to an end, another war will be established. The lands of Sham saw a lot of wars from the beginning of Islam. The land of Hijaz saw no war. The land of Sham saw the entry of the Crusades. They took over the entire Sham. They established so many kingdoms of the Christians around it. They made such an effort to make sure Islam never comes back into the lands of Sham. But this narration about the army of Sham will continue fighting the enemies of Allah. One war will come to an end, another will start. The Christian kingdoms in the land of Sham were destroyed. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi became a known figure. Nuruddin Zengi, his uncle, was a known figure. The dreams of the Christians were shattered. The army of Sham pushed them out. Then came the Mongol-Tatar invasion about 150 years later. Again the target was the lands of Sham. They entered into Sham. They made havoc in Sham. Muslims ran to different places. When Sham could not control this, but the armies of Sham would always continue fighting against them, pushing against them, even if they could not find victory. After getting control over the lands of Sham, the eyes of the Mongolians fall onto the land of Misr, because you got three lands, Sham, Misr, and then Hijaz. The Crusades, they took over Sham, they also had their eyes fall on Misr. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi was sent into Misr to make sure they don't get Misr. First he established his power in Misr and then he launched the attack on them in Sham. The eye would normally be like this, Sham, Misr, Hijaz. So they got their Sham. When the eye fell on Misr, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi never allowed it to come. When the Mongolians got Sham, the eye fell on Misr. It was in Misr that they were defeated. They never reached Hijaz. When World War took place, practically they took Sham. The armies were there, but they could not fight them directly. We will speak about the indirect fight, however. Then the eye fell on Misr. They took over the whole Misr, but one land stood out, Gaza. And it continued fighting. They never ever were going to reach Hijaz. The narration, however, mentioned the army of Sham will continue fighting. From the fall of the Khilafah, in the land of Syria, effort was made to ensure that a Muslim army will never ever stand again. If you visit the land of Sham today, you will find something called the Free Syria Army. It is beyond understanding that how Allah Tabarakallah in these last few years, there was something called an Arab uprising. Bashar al-Assad went even more wild, like how Israel is going wild at the moment. He made war against farmers. Those farmers could not even operate a gun. With his war on farmers, Allah Tabarakallah established a Muslim army in Sham. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was unique. Allah, let their destruction be in their own plans. اجعل تدميرهم في تدبيرهم. There were farmers in Sham who could not even use a normal weapon. He launched a war on farmers. And the end result of it was the creation of a Muslim army in the lands of Sham, Syria. This narration that there will always be an army. One battle will come to an end, another will start. وَيَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ أَقْوَامٌ. But Almighty Allah will continue making people stand up. No matter how many are killed, another army is standing. Another is killed, another army. وَرَزَقَهُمْ مِنْهُ. And Allah will give them sustenance from His side. The sustenance that we are speaking about is every sustenance. You wonder how these people are getting even food. You wonder how they are getting strength. What is giving them himmah? They have seen zulm for so many years. But sustenance continues coming from Allah. Courage comes, himmah comes, inspiration comes. Hatta ta'tiyahum sa'a, until the hour will come, hum ahlu sham. In one narration, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, Ayn al-Arabu yawma idhin, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that day when the world will come against the Muslims, Where will the Arabs, real Arabs, be? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that narration mentioned, أَكْثَرُهُمْ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ. Majority of them will be the people of Sham. It is such a unique narration, because at the present moment, while the people of Sham and the people of Gaza are showing the world such feats of Iman and Sabr, tolerance, it is this group of Sham who were pushed over into Gaza. You must remember this. When the state of Israel was established in 1948, about 750,000 people from Sham were pushed. And they were pushed into what is called Gaza, Misr. And with that, the people of Sham, Ahlu Sham, entered into Misr and they became the best army from the armies of earth. When this group of Sham who are in Misr, Gaza, and surrounding areas of Sham are showing the world feats of Iman, at the same time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned, you will see two camps being established. A camp of Iman in which there will be no kufr, no hypocrisy. And a camp of hypocrisy in which there will be no Iman. While from the lands of Sham and the people of Sham, the world, the non-Muslim world is seeing the feats of Iman which is making them accept Islam. At the present time in the world, so many non-Muslims have accepted Islam. Perhaps its numbers cannot be found in recent history. All because of what they are seeing happening in this land at the time of the war. And on the other side, you have a land where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the hour will not be established unless you will find that an Arab tribe of those, their women will start dancing around the idol Uzza until their behinds will even start touching it. A few years ago I mentioned this narration because something happened this last week. Someone sent it to me, where women are now posting in Arabia clips to show how happy they are that the land or the government which is in charge of looking after the Hijaz, that very land has also announced that our old heritage, our old culture, which has to do with the preservation and the honor of Uzza, Lat and Manat, we have to revive that culture again. And how that woman wrote, being a Muslim is different and giving honor to your old heritage is different. And in very few days we will actually see now those places being established where Uzza will be at the center. And dancing Arab girls will start moving around. And where the world will say, Inna lillah, at the same time they will also say, Wasadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The two tents will be established, but indeed this narration, أَكْثَرُهُمْ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ, that when you will want to find the real Arab on that day, it will be the people of Sham. You will want to find the best of the armies of Allah, it will be the people of Sham. Me and you are at the moment witnessing the end of 70 years from the establishment of the state of Israel. And from the time that they reached what is known as the border of Aqsa, Old Jerusalem, 1967, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has made a system that revolutions happen in a period of 100 years. The fall of the Ottoman Khilafah and the Zulm that took place in the land of Istanbul, if it began in 1922, at the end of 70 years, a revolution started. By 2022, the land of Istanbul and Turkey has changed completely. Islam is now the talk of that land and the establishment of an Islamic power. 100 years is the time of the peak. 70 years is the beginning of the revolution. 1948, if Israel was established, by 2048, Israel has no dream of remaining. But it is 70 years when the revolution starts and it peaks by 100. We have already passed that 70. 1967 is the time when they reached the old city of Jerusalem. After 70 years, the revolution will start. By 2067, there will be not one day at that wall. In the few years that we have in front of us, you are going to see a lot of changes happening in the Muslim world. With regards to these lands, will they ever survive? That question supposed to have been asked in 1922, will they ever survive? When they managed to survive from 1922, at a time when there was no one to cry, to call, to support, to voice opposition against the enemy, now when the whole world is seeing what's happening, and where soldiers and where weapons somehow or the other are reaching this land, and now where even in Muslim parliaments the talk is of uniting for this land because of public pressure, where everyone's now dream is the liberation of these lands, when they managed for so many years where there was not one person to cry for them, this land is definitely going to survive the next few years, where it has now the support. They pulled, it was 100 years to pull, and it managed to pull. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration even spoke about a 500 year period. He said, لا تعجز أمتي عند ربي أن يؤخرها نصف يوم. If my Allah has to give a delay to my ummah of half a day. Rashid bin Saad narrates this from his father Saad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. So they ask Rashid that what is the meaning of half a day? Rashid bin Sa'd says, An-Nisf. This Nisf Yawm which is spoken about in the narration is Khamsu Mi'ati Sanatin, 500 years. Allama Suyuti Rahimullah narrated this, which comes in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad Rahimullah, with the sound chain. He narrated this and he explained at the beginning of this 500 year period, was after 1,000 years had passed for the Muslim Ummah. In working out that 1,000 years, it's not so easy because it's not known whether you start from the day of Nubuwa, which is most probable, or you start with the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is also a possibility, or you start with the date of the Hijri, which doesn't seem like, because the date of the Hijri was set later. So either with the beginning of Nubuwa or with the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you take 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, you give yourself another 500 years. That 500 years is what we will call from 1,000 to 1,500. And just cutting a few 10 years front or back. This 500 years in recent times, if you have to look at this 500 year history, you will understand the beauty of this narration. That there will be a time when there will be a resurge. The European world called it the Renaissance. Renaissance in English means the rebirth. They never mentioned what was going to be born again. Rather, it was the rebirth of satanic power. It gave rise to satanic groups. It was when the world started hearing something called Freemasons and Illuminati and allied forces. And the big three, all of them stood up, were established to destroy Islam from the beginning till the end. There was the United Kingdom in this 500 years, which became the strongest empire that the Christian world had ever seen. It was known as an empire where the sun never sets on this empire. Because wherever you would move in the world, you will find that part was also part of the British Empire. So wherever the sun was in the sky, it was falling directly on one part of the British Empire. They had such an empire, and the purpose of this empire was to go in the world and destroy Islam wherever it was. Ask the people of Hind when they entered, and what they did at the beginning to the scholars, to the ulama, how they worked so many years. But today if you go to the land of Hind, you will find the British entered, the British left, but Islam was not destroyed. They went into the lands of Indonesia, the lands of Muslim lands, they entered into non-Muslim lands and they banned religion. South Africa they came to. Whichever land they entered, Allah Tabarakala made the masajid came back in the land. And the time came where Islam entered into their own land. And Islam went into the capital of their land. And today in London itself they are saying that the time might come where already there are so many Muslims in London that when the voting process takes place, they vote for a Muslim instead of a non-Muslim. They said, we fear in the land of England, if we have to allow those processes to continue, a time might come where the people are so many that when they will vote for a president, it will be a Muslim president. They went around the world to destroy Islam. Islam entered directly in them. And today Islam is voicing itself from within. Then came the Soviet Union. They really massacred the Muslim lands. Bukhara, Samarkand, Tirmiz. These were lands where the word Qala Rasulullah would be said so loudly. Then there was a time when no one was saying it at all. They went out of their way they went to destroy Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into the land of Afghanistan. 10 years they got stuck in that land. In one narration it comes regarding Afghanistan. Shariq bin Abdullah narrates. It comes in the kitab known as Mu'jamul Buldan. That Khurasan Kinanatullah, this land Khurasan, which is practically Afghanistan, is the bow of Almighty Allah. And with this land, Almighty Allah, when He desires, He shoots an arrow over the nation that Allah does not like. An arrow normally splits something into pieces, into half. They entered into this land, the arrow hit them. And what was known as the Soviet Union and so many countries linked up to it, one arrow went into them and the Soviet Union broke into pieces. Those Muslim lands which for years never saw La ilaha illallah, Muslims are now visiting those lands again and we're finding a revolution starting. Muslims are still there, masjids are now getting full, people want to learn the deen. The Soviet Union felt we will enter, we will massacre, we will destroy. There will never be the talk of Allah in the lands. But Almighty Allah's system, as Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, it is a 500 year period. But La ta'jizu ummati. My ummah will not find itself helpless. At the end of this 500 year, you will see the entire system changed. That the world will never believe there was an empire, United Kingdom. There was an empire, the Soviet Union. And the third empire was what was known as United States of America. Their purpose was also in the name of United Nations to ensure that Islam is removed in the entire world. Different ways to bring it, put a puppet regime, make sure they kill the Muslims, make sure the voice of Islam is down, make sure the word of jihad is never taken, make sure Quran can be reinterpreted, change scholars, bring new scholars in, make a modern Islam, make a different Islam. So much of effort was made, so much of war took place, the Iraqi war, the Syrian war, the Afghanistan invasion. They entered Afghanistan, they stayed 20 years, Russia stayed 10 years. When they left Afghanistan, it was one of the most disastrous and humiliating exits ever a country ever made. But the last few days, the world could see them practically running for their lives. But one thing the people of Afghanistan said, which made us laugh, they said, these Americans, they got too much pride. They said, even though they went running out of their country, when the President of America, Biden, gave his speech after they were destroyed and ran out, his speech was even recorded and they even clapped to his speech. They do that. They clap even if they know they're clapping against themselves. It doesn't make sense, but they clap. He gave a speech. He says, this is his exact words, which were taken from a news report. We trained 300,000 Afghan forces over 20 years. And equipped them with the best of weapons, understanding that they would become a strong adversary in their civil wars with the Taliban. Then he said, second sentence, that assumption turned out to be not so accurate. That is a unique sentence. In 1 week, this entire thing collapsed. Every weapon which they filled up that valley of Panjshir, those weapons, brand new weapons, an entire valley filled up to make a civil war to last for 50 years plus. That entire valley fell into the hands of the Islamic Imara. He says, still today they come to Afghanistan and they sit in front of us and they tell us, you must make sure you do this, you must make sure you do this. He says, they landed in our land, 20 years they fought us, they lost, they ran out. They got so much of pride, they still come now with no army and they sit here and say, you make sure you do this. He said, this nation, they got so much pride, it has covered their brains. So one answer was given to them, that you all fought us and you all could not make us do anything. Now that you all got a complete defeat, you think we're going to listen to you now? And one message was sent to them, if you want to come back and fight us again, we're ready to fight for another 20 years. But we're not going to listen to you. That empire, which is known at the present moment as the most authoritative empire in the world, that empire also made its mission the destruction of Islam. And they are also collapsing at the moment. We are reaching the end of a 500-year period. And in every Muslim land, we are seeing a revolution taking place. When this 500 years will reach its end, this wording of this narration will show its power. لَا تَعْجِزُ أُمَّتِي عِنْدَ رَبِّي. In front of my Allah, my Ummah will not find itself helpless. They will show their shan, there will be an Islam everywhere in the world. In Muslim countries, there will be the show of Islam, even in non-Muslim countries. This beginning of this war in Gaza is now where 70 years plus have passed from the state establishment of the state of Israel. Israel was unable to get what they wanted to. And in this last push, because the revolution is starting, they had to go wild. They know the whole world is looking at them. They know the whole world is saying, you can't do this. They're not bothered anymore. Because they know their time has really run out. We are now seeing the revolution. In this revolution, our minds have to also go that when two tents will be established, the tent of Iman in which there will be no hypocrisy, me and you have to start making dua that Allah Tabarak Ta'ala allows us to enter into that tent. It is not just that I think, I know it's going to happen. The Jews also knew the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina Munawwara. But they never spoke to themselves about it. When he will come, I will have to make sacrifices of my farms, of my livelihood, of my status, my position. They were enjoying a very luxurious, easy life. They were the bosses. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, they were not ready to sacrifice. Mere knowledge of something happening is not a guarantee you will walk that direction. Which the hadith mentioned, man mata walam yaghzu walam yuhaddith bihi nafsahu. And he had never spoken to himself regarding this issue of one day I'll have to make that sacrifice for the deen of Allah. I might have to sacrifice my luxury. I might have to enter into a town in a place. It is for which reason nowadays loudly we are saying, do not become so linked up with a life of luxury. إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُّمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِّمِينَ. Allah's selected servants will never be in luxury. Our luxury in this country is the luxury of having somebody else to do the work we're supposed to do. Our gardening, our laundry, our cleaning, our washing. While you have it, enjoy it, but at the same time understand, it must never happen, a day might come where a call will be made, let's leave. And the first thing a Muslim girl will ask her husband, is the maid coming with? That must never be that. It might not be that house, it might not be that luxury, it might not have that wonderful carpet. You might have to again go back on the floor, which is called, we are Ahlul Turab, sand. It might be a dusty environment. It might be a time of sacrifice. Others have already started making it. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has given us afiyah for so many years. We will continue asking for afiyah. But if ever the question has to come, that you got a chance of being of the best of camps but sacrifice, we should not make the effort or the mistake that the Jews made where they said, we're not ready for sacrifice, we will oppose. In Afghanistan, they mentioned there were those people whose fathers fought against the Russians. They fought against the Russians for years. But when America came and the wealth of America was shown, he said some of those people, their children joined America. It is not a guarantee that if you have one family, you'll remain in that one family. One camp, you'll remain. وَلَمْ يُحَدِّثْ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. You will have to continue speaking to yourself about this. And the other narration, if you don't, that same narration, مَاتَ عَلَىٰ شُعْبَةٍ مِّن نِفَاقٍ. The one who will not continuously speak to himself, herself about this. If their death has to come, they might die on a branch of hypocrisy. This is their tent, a tent of hypocrisy in which there is no iman. When the time comes and you will not be ready for sacrifice, a person, what makes those people in those lands, a Muslim woman, write that message? That Uzza, Uzza all the way. When she's in a land so close to the house of Allah. A camp has been put up of nifaq in which there is no iman. Some who will not be ready for that sacrifice, who will be enjoying a life of luxury, might not want to walk into the camp of iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, how you get it? Talk to yourself. And in talking, man sa'ala Allah ash-shahadata bi-sidqin. Whoever will ask Almighty Allah for martyrdom, and there will be sincerity in that ask. بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَاءِ وَإِنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ. Almighty Allah will make sure they will reach the ranks of the martyrs. Hypocrisy will not come to this person. We have to start making that dua for ourselves, for our children. This is the talk of the time that we are now seeing, and in the next few years it will be this. We are going to see the rise of the Islamic flags. It's going to rise whether the world of kufr desires to push it down. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. The question is, who's going to lift it? May Allah Tabarakallah bless us all, inspire us all, that we make that dua that Allah, if someone has to lift it, someone has to lift it, it has to be a person, then allow us and our families that honor, that we can also lift up these flags. May Allah Tabarakallah bless us all with martyrdom in His path. May Allah Tabarakallah allow every one of us entrance into the tent of iman, in which there is no hypocrisy. May Almighty Allah protect every one of us from the tent of hypocrisy, in which there will be no iman. Allah Tabarakala save every one of us from all trials and calamities, especially min fitanid dajjal, the fitna of dajjal while he operates from behind the scenes. And when the fitna becomes even worse when he operates from in front, there will be those that will follow him in huge numbers. There will be Muslims that will unknowingly, not understanding, also go behind him. Allah will bless the people of iman. They will be able to see his kufr while others will be blind to it. Allah bless us with that ability to pick it up. Where others will just walk blindly towards him. And they will be hearing people saying, don't go that road, don't go that road. They will say, there's nothing wrong in this road. There will be others who will say, everything is wrong on this road. May Allah Tabarakallah make us from those. اتقوا فراسة المؤمن. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer will be blessed with unique foresight. Allah tabarakallah bless us with that foresight in the days that are coming. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba wa sallallahu ala al-nabiyy al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.